Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Brian E. Roach and Pittsburgh Steelers cornerback Trey Johnson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast presented by Game Day Tailgate Experience. Elevate your tailgate when the Steelers travel to Jacksonville this weekend, November 18th, to take on the Jaguars. My name is Brian E. Roach. I am the host who doesn't like toast or burnt bread or coffee or any of the nasty stuff that Joe Kuzma and Noah Freeman like. So there. It's the pregame show, and that means it's also time for Trey's Corner, which is usually hosted by Joe Kuzma, who unfortunately for him is feeling under the weather. Fortunately for me, that means I get the honor of hosting this week's Trey's Corner, which of course will make it the best episode ever of Trey's Corner. Not in any way, shape, or form due to me, but due to our guest, Steelers cornerback Trey Johnson. Trey, welcome back.
How you doing, man? I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. It's been very cool having you on board. For the perspective that you give, it's been an enjoyable experiment so far.
Yeah, man, it's been enjoyable for me too. I'm definitely learning a lot from you guys, just kind of learning about the business, and I'm happy I can give that, you know, different input, you know, from a player standpoint.
Absolutely. All right. So a lot of stuff happened this week.
Yeah.
You know, not to dwell on the past too much, but. Obviously, last Thursday, great game, great performance. I know that when you and Joe talked prior to the game, I don't think anyone, including myself and pretty much anybody else, thought it was going to end up that way. What stood out to you about last week's game that was different, or just, you know, is it the way Mike Tomlin described it? Is that just a snowball game and it just starts rolling downhill, and once it starts, you can't stop it?
I kind of agree with that. Obviously, I didn't think it was going to turn out that way. I'm definitely happy that it did. But I think it was more so just kind of what Coach Tomlin said. But I would call it more momentum, man. Momentum is something that's really crazy. You know, the Panthers came out and they put that first drive together, and I was kind of nervous, you know, just thinking like, okay, you know, that's not good, of course. But, you know, after, you know, we responded, you know, put a drive together right back at them, and then once we got that pick six, you know, after getting that hit on Cam, you know, everything, that momentum started swinging in our direction. And you know, ever since that moment, it really never went back in the Panthers' favor. And I feel like a lot of that kind of had something to do with, you know, the fans, you know, being at home and being able to do that, you know, on your home turf. It definitely, you know, gives you a different type of level and a different type of play. So,
yeah, it felt like once they put that offense in gear, man, they just, I mean, it's hard because it wasn't just the offense. I mean, every aspect of the team felt dominant at some point during that performance. So that was great to see. And, you know, I guess the Le'Veon Bell saga is now finally supposedly over. It won't be because, you know, people aren't going to let it go. It'll go on until he signs with another team, and then it'll go on even beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, man, it's a headline. That's what people want. So it's definitely going to be talked about for forever.
Yeah, and you know, it's there was a situation, and I understand it from the standpoint of I've been in the locker rooms before. Obviously, you have and still are, and you know, there's a camaraderie and a jokey. You know, people joke around. So you know, this whole thing with the players supposedly raiding Le'Veon's locker. And the media reporting that it was a huge deal. It really isn't, right? I mean, it was just a joke.
To me, I don't see that as a big deal whatsoever. That's something that it's kind of, I don't know if it's unspoken rule, but, you know, that's something that I actually did in college. You know, one of the kids got kicked off of our team in college, and the first thing we did was go through his locker and take what it is that we wanted. You know, so it's like, that's like an unwritten rule, I guess you could say. You know, people, you know, if you're not there, obviously you're not going to use it. And obviously, you know, Le'Veon sat out on so much money. He has enough money to buy another pair of cleats, you know, buy more stuff. So if he really wanted it, he would have went back to the locker room and took it for himself before, you know, everybody else got to it. So I don't see any problem whatsoever with that, man. I would have did the same thing. I would have tried to get some cleats too, especially some Jordan cleats.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I know that we like to keep abreast of how you're doing. How are things going with the rehab, and where do you see yourself right now?
Hey man, I feel great. I'm almost there in my opinion. I'm 4 months out, so technically I'm supposed to have like another 2 months. But you know, I feel like I can be cleared in a few weeks. I definitely feel like my shoulder is, you know, almost back to where it should be. Obviously, I don't have the full strength back, but you know, I definitely have my range of motion and everything like that. And I've been, you know, doing a lot more conditioning and stuff. I'm starting to be able to sprint again. So you know, I'm able to actually run and actually, you know, get on the football field and do some drills and, you know, catch the ball and different things like that. So right now I'm just kind of trying to get back into the swing of things, you know, not push it too much. You know, I don't want to force it back and, you know, kind of mess it up. Right. But, you know, I just want to make it so that I feel like a, you know, football player again and make it so that, you know, I can be clear, you know, as quick as possible.
Joe and I had talked prior to the beginning of the year where we thought the team was really deep at corner. And, you know, as the year has progressed, obviously things have shaken out a little differently. So it looks like there's opportunity there. But, you know, from your standpoint, the earliest you get back into the swing of things with the Steelers is after this season is over, or are you eligible to start working with them once you're cleared?
We're more so looking for next season, but if I get cleared, I really don't know exactly how that works because, you know, obviously with me being a rookie, this is my first time really going through it.
Right.
But if I get cleared during the season, I'm pretty sure I could come back. But, you know, that would be in the playoffs, and then, you know, that would mess up, you know, the whole groove of the locker room and different things like that. So I don't see it as a extremely high likely situation, but, you know, I definitely am, of course, open to the opportunity and would love for the opportunity to arise. But, you know, I definitely am going to be back out there next year. That's one thing that's 100% is awesome. That I'll be back next year.
So this week is, I think, a game that most of Steelers Nation has had circled on the calendar big time because of the repercussions from what happened last year. And to be honest, there's some history between the Steelers and the Jaguars. There's this kind of a feeling that the Jaguars, because of their style of play, physical, very Steeler-like in the way they play, that this
defensive
is a tough matchup.
Too.
Yeah, defensive mindset. This is always a tough matchup for the Steelers. So they got to go down to their place, the stadium with the swimming pools, and and play there. So, of course, it's going to be an away game, but that doesn't mean it has to feel that way for anybody attending the game. You know, we're calling for Steelers Nation to unite. That's right, unite before the Steelers' big game against the Jaguars. Remember, it's been moved from 8:20 to 1 o'clock, but that doesn't mean the fun isn't going to be there because Game Day Tailgate Experience, GTE, is having a big pregame tailgate experience, a huge, gigantic tailgate party. And you can join Steel City Underground's own Joe Kuzma as well as other Steelers fans prior to the Jaguars game. Leave the grills and the tables at home. All you're going to need is your terrible towel as the five-hour tailgate party will begin early in the day. This pregame tailgate includes unlimited food and a five-hour open bar. There are going to be TVs to watch anything that you want to about pregame. There's going to be live music and entertainment, some family-friendly tailgating games, and other amenities. There will also be auctioning off selected Jaguar and Steelers memorabilia, and you could take that home with you. Several celebrities, including legends from both teams, will be making guest appearances as well. And Joe Kuzma will be there, even though, you know, you may not think he's a legend, but he does, and that's all that really matters. You know, it's the perfect venue to gear up before watching this game and hopefully for us getting some vengeance. And look, for SEU listeners, you can save 20% off of tickets when using the promo code SteelCity during checkout. Just go to steelcityunderground.com/Jaguars tailgate for more details. And, you know, the idea, of course, here is to make this home game feel, or this away game, feel more like a home game. And that, you know, leads into the beginning of this. You know, it's an away game. You know, how much, you know, Ben's been great. I mean, the team's been great on the road this year. And they were pretty good on the road last year. And, you know, we used to talk about good Ben and bad Ben and road Ben versus home Ben. But road Ben's been really good of late. You know, how much of a difference does it make having to go there versus playing at home?
You know, for different people, it's different. But, you know, for me, I feel like when it comes to the difference between playing at home and away, you know, it's just the comfortability of playing at home. You know, when you're at home, you know, you're in your own bed. You know, you can wake up a little bit later because you don't have to get to the stadium as early, or you can even wake up earlier if that's your routine, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, just playing away, it takes you out of your routine and out of your comfort zone. You know, you're staying in a hotel. You're probably not going to eat exactly what it is that you want because, you know, you don't have your wife or your chef or whoever it is that's cooking for you. You know, you got to eat the team meal or whatever. So, you know, that's really the difference when it comes to the pregame. And then, of course, you know, actually during the game, you know, the obvious thing is the crowd. You know, you don't have – everybody in the stadium is against you, you know, when you're away. So that's one thing that definitely has an effect on some players. You know, some people thrive in it, and some people just kind of crack underneath it, you know. But me personally, I kind of – especially in college, I like playing away more. I kind of like having the mentality of, you know, the world is against you, and you kind of got to prove everybody wrong. And I feel like, you know, that's kind of the mindset that we've had, you know, in a lot of our games, a lot of our away games this year, you know, because we've been coming out victorious, especially as of late. You know, we started off slow, but we're kind of cranking it up right now. And I feel like that's what we're going to do, you know, when we go out there on Sunday against the Jags. We're definitely going to go out there and crank it up.
All right. This game, which was originally an 8:20 game, has been flexed to 1:00. Does the time of the game, especially as long as you know it in advance like this, does that change anything from a player's standpoint?
Yeah, it does. It actually changes a lot for some people. Like for me personally, I'm not a very big breakfast eater, so I don't eat like a big breakfast. So, you know, playing earlier, it's kind of hard for me to get enough food and enough like energy in me early, you know. So I kind of got to drink like some type of shake or something that has a lot of energy and calories in it for me to get ready, or, you know, eat a lot of snacks before the game or something like that if it's an early game. But, you know, if it's a night game, if I'm playing at 8:20, you know, I've already had lunch, you know, because I usually eat a big lunch, you know, since I don't eat a big breakfast, I eat a big lunch.
Right.
So usually I eat, you know, a big lunch for a late game, and then, you know, I'm ready by game time. It's kind of more so of a normal day. But, you know, playing earlier, you know, it's just the idea that you got to wake up earlier. You know, you just kind of got to do everything quicker. Sometimes it can feel rushed, but, you know, not always. Sometimes, you know, if you're used to playing that early, you know, it just feels like a normal day, as opposed to having a late game where you're just kind of chilling around all day. And some people don't like playing late. Some people don't like it because the whole day doesn't feel like a game day. You know, the build up doesn't feel like as much of a build day because you're just kind of, you know, laying around all day and you don't feel like, oh, I got a game in an hour, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely for an early game, you don't want to eat a big lunch, right? You'll be pulling a Lawrence Timmons on the field.
Oh, yeah. you'll be blowing chunks all over the field, yeah. Man. You don't ever want that. I've had that, and it's not fun. So I learned my lesson.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's look at this Jaguars team. Certainly they are not performing to the level that many people thought they might this season. The mm-hmm. record is not what they expected it to be. There's really no other way to say it. They've underperformed. But this is still one of the top defenses in the league, and they're mm-hmm. getting back Leonard. You know, they got him back last week. They got Fournette back. But their receiving core looks to be less than good. It's a weakness. Let's put it that way. It's a weakness. What do you see from a defensive standpoint, looking at the Jags offense? How do the Steelers match up with these guys?
I think we match up pretty well. Like, one thing that we're good at is stopping the run, and that's the one thing that, you know, the Jaguars are good at is running the ball. You know, so I feel like it's going to be a clash of kind of two titans. You know, Leonard Fournette is obviously a beast. And, you know, of course, they got Carlos Hyde now and still have T.J. Yeldon. So, you know, they have a loaded backfield that obviously is their main way of getting yardage. So it's something that we definitely have to worry about. And, you know, I feel like we match up well against that, though, because that's what we do. And when it comes to, like, their receivers and, you know, their quarterback, really, I feel like that's where their problems stem from. You know, obviously, like I say all the time, you know, nobody in the NFL is a scrub, but, you know, Blake Bortles isn't the best quarterback in the NFL by any means, any sense of the word. So I feel like that's where their weakness is, I guess you could say. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's still in the NFL, and he still can have that day, you know, where he just goes off for 300 yards or however many yards it is. So we got to still make sure that, you know, we're on our P's and Q's. We can't just overlook them because they've been having a bad season, you know, because you never know, they might come out there on Sunday and play like they were playing last year. You know, so we got to just make sure everybody's on key and everybody's on point for anything and any situation that might arise.
Absolutely. One of the big things that they said they're stressing this week is getting to the quarterback. And I think it's fair to say that the offensive line play has definitely been a strength of the Steelers this year.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team that was second in sacks last year to the Steelers, and this year is much further down the list of leading in sacks. And, you know, they've made a point of saying they're going to focus on this week, but is this a great week for them? I mean, they have a solid defensive line. You got Calais Campbell and some of the other guys, and I cannot pronounce Yannick's last name, so I'm not even going to try.
Yeah, me either. That's a difficult one right there.
In Ngakoue. Maybe that's right. I'm not sure if it is or not. He won't hear it, so it doesn't matter. looking at this, do you see any potential matchup issues with the Steelers' offensive line versus the Jags' defensive line?
No, I really don't see any issues. Like, I've been saying this the whole time. I feel like our offensive line is something that's really solid. You know, I kind of recognize that just being there, you know, being in the locker room and just kind of seeing the way that they move and the way that they click together. You know, like I said a few weeks ago, they eat lunch together, you know, they eat breakfast together. Anytime you see one of them, you kind of see all of them. So, you know, just to be able to have that camaraderie within a team, especially the O-line, because the O-line is something that they all have to work together. You know, that's five people on a string. You know, if there's a gap in that chain, somebody's going to break through it every single time. So, you know, there can't be any gaps. So just being able to see that and kind of observe that is something that made me realize that they're going to be really good this year. And they've been showing it lately, you know, so I really don't see any problems. Obviously, you know, the Jaguars defense is a great defense. You know, they're still, you know, one of the top defenses in the league this year. You know, their offense just really is underperforming. So it's difficult for a defense to be a shutout defense, you know, when other teams' offenses are getting way more possessions and way more time of possession, you know. If you're on the field for, you know, 20 minutes out of the game or 30 minutes out of the game, you know, you're going to bend and you're going to give up some type of plays, you know, just off of the fact that you're out there for so long. You know, right. It's more opportunity for you to mess up.
Absolutely.
So I think that's really the problem that they've been facing. But, you know, they still have Calais Campbell, who is a veteran in the league and who is a dog. You know, he's wreaking havoc up in that middle. So it's not going to be easy. But, you know, I think it's not anything that we can't handle, you know, or anything that we haven't seen before. I definitely have a lot of faith in our O-line.
Yeah, I mean, these guys, you know, they're very fast. They're very good. You know, it feels like they've been pretty good this week in trying to avoid stuff that can be bullet board material. But, you know, early in the season, Jalen Samuels did talk a little bit of smack about Ben. How much does that really play into the psyche of the guys? Do they care, or is it something where, you know, Ben in the back of his head is going to be going, yeah, we'll see if I'm okay?
I mean, Jalen Ramsey obviously just rambles sometimes, but he is one of the best cornerbacks in the league. You know, he definitely backs up what he says. You know, I'm not saying anything like that, but you know, when it comes to Big Ben, I feel like Big Ben is a veteran in this league. I feel like that just kind of hit him and it just rolled off of him. You know, he really didn't pay too much attention to it. But, you know, it still is more motivation and more fuel to the fire. You know, whether or not Big Ben, you know, obviously I doubt Big Ben believes Jalen Ramsey, but, you know, he still wants to go out there and prove him wrong. He still has, okay, like he said, I'm a scrub. I'm going to go out there and prove him wrong, you know. So that's something that, you know, definitely plays into the mindset. I don't think it had a negative connotation on Ben's mind at all. I think more so Jalen Ramsey kind of messed up by saying that, because now Big Ben has a reason to attack him and a reason to kind of fuel his fire. And I feel like that's really what Jalen wanted. You know, Jalen wants that confrontation. He wants people to kind of attack him because, you know, that's more opportunity for him to make a play. So, you know, that's definitely a good business decision by Jalen Ramsey, you know, saying that to Big Ben. But, you know, I'm excited for the matchup, especially seeing him and AB going at it. You know, that's going to be a real interesting matchup because it's two of the best in the league, two of the most elite in the league, you know, kind of going at it. So it's just, it's just amazing to kind of watch stuff like that. It's like two gladiators going at it, so I'm definitely hype about it.
Absolutely. It should be a great matchup. From the standpoint of, you know, where you see this game heading, you know, obviously they beat us twice last year. You know, they won handily in Pittsburgh during the regular season and then survived in Pittsburgh after the, you know, after we spotted them 21 points. So how moving forward, you know, with this game, does that stuff, is there a psychological aspect that the Steelers have to be wary of? In other words, if something doesn't roll right early, can it be one of those things where they're like, oh man, here we go again with this Jaguar stuff? Or is it not going to be an issue?
I don't think it'll be an issue. I think, you know, even if, let's say the Jaguars get an early lead or something like that, I don't think it'll be like, oh man, here it goes again. I think it'll be more so, yo, let's not let this happen again, because we know we're better than them this year. You know, I feel like it's obvious by the record, obvious by the way that we're playing, especially with us being on a roll, you know, these past few games, that we're better than the Jaguars. They definitely should not beat us on Sunday. But, you know, it does, I guess those things do have a mental mindset, but I feel like it's more so we have unfinished business. You know, they came in there and they really took, in the playoffs, they took, obviously took away our chance of winning the Super Bowl, you know? Yeah. So that's something that you want payback, you know? So this is our opportunity to get that payback. And I feel like we're going to go out there and get it. You know, we got to just go out there, roll with the punches, whether it's negative at the beginning or what, but as long as you stick to the script, you know, stick to the game plan and do what it is that we've been doing lately, you know, I feel like we'll be good.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the key, is do what they've been doing in my mind. And what they've been doing is running James Conner and Ben spreading the ball around.
Yeah, you know, making smart decisions.
Yeah, it felt like early in the year, you know, he was keyed in on Antonio Brown. He forced the ball a couple times. And it didn't work out. But over the last five games, it's been much more, in my view, of what am I given, and if it's there, I'm going to take it. On top of James Conner balling out.
Yeah.
So
he's definitely been balling, man. Yeah. He's come out of nowhere, and I love it.
Yeah, and you know, he was a full participant again in practice today. So I'm assuming, I don't know how long he has to stay in protocol. I know part of it is physical activity. I don't know whether he's officially cleared protocol yet or not. But he was a full participant 2 days in a row.
Let me tell you this. If people are practicing, they're going to play. Yeah. That's the reason why he's practicing. So I know it because I have him on my fantasy team and there's a queue next to him right now. But I'm telling you now, he's still in my starting lineup. He's playing this week.
There you go. From your standpoint,
and I need him to go for another 30.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, from your standpoint, what do you think are the keys for them this week? What's going to make you know, what do the Steelers have to do to win this game? Essentially,
I feel like we just kind of have to take care of the ball. As long as we don't turn the ball over and give the Jaguars' offense a short field, yeah, I feel like we're going to win, because that's the only way I see the Jaguars scoring on us is by them having a short field. I don't see them putting, you know, a 15-16 play drive together, you know, that's going, you know, 60-70 yards. I just kind of see them, you know, getting a big play, you know, us messing up on defense somehow, you know, and they get a big play and now they have 7 points or 14 points or whatever it is. I don't really see their offense putting any type of drives together. So, you know, I think really as a defense, what we have to do, of course, is stop the run. You know, Leonard Fournette in that hefty backfield with Carlos Hyde and TJ Yeldon, you know, we have to make sure that we don't need to stop them. We just need to contain them, you know, make sure that we get them to third and longs. That way they can't run the ball on third down. And then, you know, when those third and longs come, I feel like we just need to get pressure on the quarterback, you know, because obviously Blake Bortles isn't playing as great as he was last year. You know, he's making a lot of silly mistakes and a lot of bad decisions. So those bad decisions come because there's pressure, you know, like I said, you know, a few weeks ago, pressure does one of two things. It's either going to burst the pipe or it's going to make a diamond. And yep. Lately, you know, Blake Bortles has been a pipe. So we just need to make sure we keep that pressure on him.
Absolutely.
So that's yeah. One way that the defense could come out victorious.
And to be fair, I mean, their offensive line is a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they've lost several starters on that offensive line. I think the guy who's playing center is now either the second or third string guard. who's going to start at center because they lost their starting center. You know, that the offensive line is an absolute mess. And for me, that opens up a number of I mean, I think the guy who's playing left tackle is a guard, you know, by trade. Yeah. And yeah. It feels to me like Bud Dupree should just go off this game. I don't know. You tell me.
I feel like everybody that's coming off that edge is going to go off, whether it's Bud Dupree, TJ Watt, Chick, you know, even if Bostic messes around and come off the edge, you know, wherever we're bringing pressure from, I feel like it's going to land, because, you know, I don't really see anybody on their offensive line that's like a dominant player, or, you know, yeah. I don't see Leonard Fournette stepping up, you know, stopping a 6'5" Bud Dupree from running full speed into Blake Bortles, you know, so that's a big individual, and they're really all big individuals down there, and I see them all making plays, you know, and forcing Blake Bortles to make quick, irrational decisions, and, you know, hopefully we come out with some turnovers, some interceptions, or you know, force fumbles, sack fumbles, whatever it is, you know, we just need it. If we create turnovers, we're definitely going to win the game, because that's forcing the, you know, the Jaguars defense out on the field more, and more importantly, forcing Big Ben onto the field more and giving him more possessions and giving him more opportunities to break down the defense and more opportunities to score and to find AB, to find Juju, or to even hand the ball off to James Conner and let him just keep balling out and keep doing what he's doing.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. I think this is a game where, in my view, I just the defensive line has played so well. Kind of like the same thing on the offense. And last season, you know, the Jaguars really dominated the Steelers on both sides of the ball at the line.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's where the game starts, man, in yep. the trenches.
And I think that's going to weigh on these guys, because they know they didn't play up to their expectations last year. And with less, I guess, less quality opponents sitting there in front of them right now, not because they're bad guys, but because they aren't the top-level offensive line that the Jaguars were expecting to have. I don't know. I just look at Stephon Tuitt and Cameron Hayward, especially the way that they've been playing lately, just sliding through that line. TJ and Bud coming off the side. I expect Blake Bortles to be running his life. I'm predicting boldly. I'm stealing Joe's line of bold predictions. I'm saying they're going to get 6 or more sacks.
Oh man, I like that. I think 6 or more sacks isn't too much of a stretch. I feel like, you know, we're definitely going to collapse the pocket a lot. You know, I feel like Blake Bortles understands that his offensive line isn't the greatest. So I feel like some of those sacks aren't really going to come, because he's just going to throw the ball away so quick because he feels the pressure, you know, from Bud Dupree or TJ Watt or whoever it is, you know, coming up the middle. So I feel like he's just going to be obviously running for his life and just making bad decisions. But 6 sacks isn't too irrational. I could agree with that.
I wanted to say 11, but
yeah, I don't know if we're getting 11, man. That's like a season's worth right there.
Yeah, I wanted to steal the Ravens' thunder because they had that 11 sack game earlier this year, and just go, yeah, we're gonna get 11 this time. But
yeah, man, I tell you what, if we stop the run, if we make them have negative plays, you know, on first and second down, then we actually might hit 11 sacks, because when it's third and long, you know, third and 11, third and 12, you know, that type of distance.
Yep.
You know that they're going to throw the ball. You know, so when you know that the pass is coming, you bring pressure, because pressure is the quickest way to mess up a pass play, because you don't have time to finish your route. You don't have time to run 11 yards and sit down, or to run a fly route. You know, the quarterback has to get the ball out of his hands quickly. So, you know, if we're able to do that, you know, on first and second down and just kind of shut down the run and create negative plays, then we might mess around and have like 11, 12 sacks, man.
It would be crazy, and that would be crazy. We'll see. I'm staying with 6, but it would be Madden like to get 11, 12 sacks.
yeah, that is real Madden esque.
So, bottom line, when we're looking at this game, what do you think the game's going to come in around score wise?
I see us hitting 30s. I really don't see them doing too much, you know, maybe 14, but I think it's more so going to be like a blowout, you know, maybe not as bad as last week was, you know, with the Panthers, but I think something is going to feel like that. You know, I feel like we're just going to kind of go out there and dominate the entire game. I don't really see any super big strength of the Jaguars where we can't stop it. You know, everything that they do, we're able to combat. You know, they're great at running the ball. We're able to combat that. You know, they have a great defense. We have a marvelous offense, you know, so I really don't see them beating us in any type of category, you know, unless all of a sudden their special teams just starts balling, you know, they catch some punt returns or something like that. But I don't even see that. You know, we have one of the best special teams, you know, in the league this year. So I definitely am super confident about this game. You know, I really don't see us going out there and messing up in any way unless we just go out there and just, you know, lay an egg. You know, that's really the only way I see us losing.
Yeah, I kind of feel like we're likely to come out in some heavy sets, a heavy dose of James Conner, you know, punish the Jaguars because I feel like they can be run on. And get us into situations where, you know, very, very much ahead of the sticks, you know, what we want to avoid them being in third and short and, you know, being able to use second down to try and light them up and open things up. I'm scared. I'll admit I'm scared a bit to go and feel too confident. But this isn't last year's Jaguars team. It just isn't. And, you know, the offense is not, in my mind, the offense is not going to perform the way they did in the playoffs last year. So I'm hesitantly on the same page as you. I feel like this is a game they should dominate, really, in all facets, the same way they did last week. The Jaguars are not as good as the Panthers. And,
no, not at all.
You know, this is a team that I just feel like they should handily beat. And that makes Steelers Nation nervous when you say that.
Yeah, it does. Because, you know, when it's like that, it's easy to overlook somebody. So I think that's, you know, kind of the same thing as laying an egg. You know, as long as we don't overlook them, you know, we're going to be good, which I definitely don't think we're doing because of what they did to us last year. You know,
exactly.
They took us out of our opportunity to win another Super Bowl. So that's something that you really don't forget. So I think we're focused on this game. Like, all right, we need to go out here and dominate them and show them that last year was a fluke and that, you know what I'm saying, we should have been the ones playing the Patriots that week after that.
Absolutely. So last week, I want to, before we close this down, I think we're both on the same page, and I want to get your impressions of a situation that's developed, and not really to call anybody out at all, but really just how the mindset of a cornerback works. Because Artie's had a tough time this year, and I think most people feel that what the biggest issue with him maybe right now is confidence. He got into the game, unfortunately, you know, got called for pass interference, and he feels like, you know, because I think everybody here at SCU likes Artie Burns. We kind of, you know, we felt all along he has a lot of potential, has a lot of talent, has the skills. But that doesn't always add up to success. You know, when you get into a slump or into a funk like this, what do you got to do to battle back and regain your confidence? Because it's a lot about confidence at that position, isn't it?
Yeah, it's extremely about confidence. You know, if you don't have that confidence, you go out there and play with a lack of confidence, and obviously that's never good. But I just feel like, you know, when you're down on yourself, you know, speaking from my personal experiences and the things like that, you know, I just kind of step back and look and reevaluate everything, you know, just kind of look and be like, okay, what is it that I'm doing wrong? You know, why is it that they call this pass interference, or why is it that they call it illegal hands, or whatever it is that they're calling, you know, and just kind of understand the game more and just kind of take a step back and reevaluate, you know, make sure everything is good at home. You know, sometimes that can play a part, you know, of people's at home life is difficult, you know, and that can kind of mess up your brain of when you're on the field, you know, you're not really fully on the field. So right. I think that's another thing that you kind of have to take into account is that you have to make sure that where you are, you know, you're there. You know, when you're on the football field, you're on the football field. You're not thinking about anything else. You're not thinking about that girl or, you know, this bill that needs to be paid. You know, you're out there and you're doing the game that you love and you're playing the game that you love. So I definitely feel like, you know, Artie's going to come out of the slump. I don't see him staying in it for long. You know, actually, especially after talking to him and hanging around with him for a long time, he's somebody that definitely doesn't lack confidence. You know what I'm saying? He's a Florida boy, and he's definitely going to bounce back. So I just think it takes time.
Absolutely. And opportunity, right? I mean, you not only do you have to have to get the time to get your head right, but you need the opportunities.
Definitely. And obviously, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't prove yourself if you don't have the opportunity. So that's definitely something that I should have touched on.
So, you know, we'll have to see how this plays out. Trey, I want to thank you again. You know, as always, the insight is fantastic, and the conversation is good. Anything you want to, I guess, end with today before we sign off?
Nothing, man. Just go Steelers, man. And, you know, if anybody has any questions or anything that they want to send in, you guys go ahead and send it in. You know, we're more than open to answering them. And, you know, I'm definitely always, like I say, you know, excited to be here and happy that we had another successful show of Trey's Corner, you know.
Absolutely. And as Trey said, you can either, you know, use the hotline. You can email us at fanmail at steelcityunderground.com, or do it the easy way, man. Put comments in under the YouTube videos and hit that subscribe button, the notification, and all that stuff. We appreciate all of the listeners who have been giving us some feedback. It's fantastic. And, you know, if you got questions, we'll get them in. Trey will do his best to answer them, right?
Yeah, definitely, man. I'm excited to answer some questions.
All right. I think that's going to wrap it up for Trey's Corner this week. Again, my name is Brian Roach. His is Trey Johnson. Thank you to Joe Kuzma for being sick and not being able to be here. No, I'm kidding. We miss you, Joe, and we love you. But for this time, we are out of here. And as I always like to say, until next time, everybody, it's chaos out there. Be kind.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.